Our epistle lesson today is from 2 Corinthians 12, verses 5 to 10. Friends, hear this word of the Lord for you today. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, Paul says, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. To keep me from being too elated, three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us. We know that because we have gathered here in your name, you are here in our midst. Help us experience your presence. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I just spent 2 weeks on vacation and it was a doozy. Isn't that how it always is? Unexpected adventures and challenges, right? Ed and I went to Missouri for a few days, which was beautiful. Ed got very sick, which he never does, and ended up in the urgent care. My daughter Emily, staying with her dad, ended up in 2 hospitals. My biological mom had surgery. When we returned, I had to start taking care of my dad. My stepmom went to Ireland, and my dad's sister had a heart attack and a stroke and is in the ICU, and I've been taking him to see her much of the time. But through it all, God has given peace. And even beautiful times of meditation and prayer, especially early in the morning. I've been getting up earlier and earlier in the morning to sit outside, read my streams in the desert, my Bible verses, to pray and just listen for God's peace. And even though it wasn't a vacation, so to speak, it was, because it was time to focus on family and be there when they really needed me. So I praise God for that. I don't have to tell you that life is a mess and most vacations are too. It's a broken world out there, right? We are certainly broken people. My dad's favorite author is Ernest Hemingway. And one of his famous quotes is this: life breaks all of us, but some of us are strong in the broken places. That's what Paul's talking about in this second letter to the church in Corinth. He's been hearing about their fights and their divisions. He's been hearing about these super apostles that claim to know everything about the faith and they want to be in charge. And Paul steps in with this letter to remind them that they are looking for strength and power in all the wrong places. He starts 2 Corinthians 12, ironically, with a description right before the verses we read of this heavenly vision that someone had. He talks about it in the third person, but commentators are pretty sure it was his own vision. But instead of boasting about this special vision that he's had from God, he distances himself from it, steps back from all the power struggles in Corinth, and directs the people to true strength, which is found only in Jesus Christ. And in case we forgot, that true strength of Christ, he reminds us, is actually found in our weakness. Paul knows that all too well. God has allowed him to have all kinds of calamities in his life, and he has this thorn in the flesh, some kind of disability, some kind of pain. And he says that God did not relieve him of that pain, even though he's asked three times. And I thought, just three, really? You've only asked three times. God did not relieve him of this. Rather, God said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." The power of God was actually revealed to Paul through the weakness, and it was Paul's reminder that all power is really God's, not ours. Can you even imagine listening to words like this about strength and weakness being blasted across our country, our media, our internet, our Facebook? Can you imagine? People would say, "That is crazy." But friends, that's the crazy gospel. That's the good news. God's power is perfect in our weakness. God's grace is sufficient for us when we are weak. That is the only way that Paul can later say, "When I am weak, then I am strong." So what do you think when you hear that? When I am weak, then I am strong. We hear this strength and weakness paradox, and some of us are thinking, "Yeah, right. As my dad says, that sounds like baloney." And yet what is foolish to the world is wisdom to God. What is totally illogical to humans is logical in the kingdom of God, because God has this way, Jesus has this way of turning everything upside down, you know? One scholar said that here in America, we value independence and being able to take care of ourselves, and as a result, we treat weakness, vulnerability, and suffering as evils to be avoided, prevented, and overcome. Friends, Paul is saying the opposite. Weakness, vulnerability, suffering. Paul is saying God can and does use those things for good. And God uses those times of weakness to bring us strength. Many people have speculated, what is this thorn in his flesh? Why does Paul not say? Some wonder if the Corinthians already knew what it was. They knew Paul. Maybe they knew what his disability was. But you know what? It doesn't matter. And it's probably a God thing that we don't know, because instead, we hear these verses all these years later, and we can just substitute our own trials and challenges and our own thorn in the flesh as we read these verses. And we can think about the things, the challenges and trials in our lives that we've asked God to take away. Only, of course, I always ask more than three times. What is that thorn for you? What is that thorn in the flesh for you? Is it chronic pain, mental illness, addiction, family struggles, financial worries, job stress? We all have them. We all have them. And we all have something amazing to learn through them. This is not to say that God creates and just gives us thorns in the flesh. Paul himself is very clear. This thorn is from Satan, not God. God is not the author of evil and pain and suffering. Rather, God is the one bringing good out of evil and pain and suffering. There's a great big difference between the two beliefs, and on it hangs the gospel of Christ. We cannot say that all suffering is a gift. And Paul is also not saying, "Friends, just grin and bear it." What he is saying is that God is with us, no matter what we're suffering through. And we can find God's grace and power in our times of trial. For Paul, God's grace and power is kind of like air. It's everywhere around him. It sustains him. It's his life force. Can you imagine that? What if we thought of God's grace and power as the very air we breathe? To me, this is one reason why I love that devotional that I mention often, Streams in the Desert. It's one of the best I've ever read because its pages are saturated with this paradox of faith, this strength in weakness, grace in sin, power in broken places. In the July 3rd reading, the author was talking about seeing this beautiful meadow, lush green grass, beautiful violets, a gorgeous meadow, and then the next day he showed up and it was all plowed under. It was just dirt, barren dirt. So when he asked God about this, who did this? Who would do such a thing? God revealed a vision of a field ripe with delicious corn, and then he realized, wow, God is in the business of bringing a harvest. In that seeming destruction and weakness comes beauty and life. In Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, there's a passage called the Suffering Servant. And as people looked back after the cross of Christ, they saw in these words Jesus' own suffering. It says, surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. And by his stripes we are healed. In Philippians 2, Paul says that Jesus emptied himself, that he became human like a slave, and he went all the way to death on a cross. And that is what revealed God's power. The cross, the suffering. We see the strength of God because of that time of weakness. Sufficient grace, power, and pain, strength, and weakness. You can hardly read through the Bible without bumping into all of these truths on just about every other page. I mean, the heroes in the Bible, well, you'll be hard-pressed to find one that is not broken, sinful, many of them despicable, lowly, suffering, every single one of them. Even Jesus, though perfect, was also this lowly person and broken in an ultimate way on the cross. But what happened because of that cross? That was the resurrection. That cross was the pathway to the joy. You know that we see things like this in our secular world today. The 12-step program for addictions, it's all about this. About being broken, being real, being vulnerable, exposing weaknesses, and then turning it all over to God, because that's where we find our real strength. Have you ever seen a certain kind of Japanese art? It's very strange and beautiful. And I'm probably not going to say it right, but it's kintsugi or something like that. But here's what it is. It's broken pieces of pottery. It's taking the bowl once it's been cracked all over and filling in every single crack with gold. It's fixing the broken pottery with gold. The idea behind it is very spiritual. They believe that the cracks in the pottery are not things to hide. It's beauty to behold. And I love that. In fact, they say that this pottery becomes even more refined because of its scars. Friends, the Bible would agree. You read Malachi 3, and it actually talks about us going through the refining fires of life where God makes us pure through our own trials, beautiful in the eyes of God because of all that brokenness. Other secular people know this truth about strength and weakness. Do you remember me talking to you about the professor and researcher Brené Brown? She studies vulnerability, which sounds a little strange to study vulnerability, but she in fact believes that this is one of the biggest problems in our world today, our lack of vulnerability. So much of the time we just want to be strong, or we want to numb ourselves from the pain of life. And we numb ourselves with all kinds of things, with addiction, overeating, overspending, just so we won't feel that vulnerability anymore. But she believes that living a meaningful life requires being real, vulnerable, and open to not just the pain, but also the joy. The joy of life. Now, most of us try to put on a good face all the time, even at church, right? We try to have that picture-perfect, Facebook-approved life. We try to hold it all together, look like we know what we're doing. We try. But sometimes inside, we're really just a mess. Like, sometimes that's us every single minute of every single day. And when people ask, how are you? Well, if we were to tell the truth, we might be here for several days, right? Well, what if we decided? What if we decided that when we approach one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, to actually open up a little bit? Be open, be real, be vulnerable. Open ourselves up to one another. Brown says that doing this leads to feelings of fear and pain, but it also leads to joy and love and courage and compassion, which makes total sense. Vulnerability is like this package deal, and it's all over the Bible. To be real and vulnerable means you feel what you feel. When things are scary, you feel afraid. When things are crazy, you feel confused. When things are hurtful, you feel pain. But it also means you have the capacity to feel joy and love and compassion. In fact, Paul would say you can't feel that love and joy and compassion without having gone through the pain. If we numb ourselves to avoid it, we also cut ourselves off from the joy and the meaning and the love of life. I don't remember what saint said it, but I've always believed what I heard once, that it is the depth of our pain that leads us to the deepest joy. Friends, can't even tell you how true that is. I've seen it time and time again in my life, in your lives. Paul would agree with all of that. It's why he was so adamant about us finding strength in weakness. Because through our weakness, we find Christ's strength, and that leads us to the joy. If you read through the letters of the New Testament, you'll find these lengthy descriptions of the pain and suffering that Paul endured. And it was precisely all of that that leads him to say crazy things like, I can be content no matter what. I am at peace no matter what. So the question is, do we believe that? Do we believe that God's power is made perfect in our weakness, or are we just trying to hold it ourselves all together? Do we believe that God's grace is sufficient for us in times of pain, or are we looking for other things to deal with that pain? Do we believe that being vulnerable like Paul was, like Jesus was, is the pathway to love and joy and peace? Or are we just trying to find, it's okay, God, I'll find my own way? Well, what if we all took a risk and surrendered all of the mess to God? What if we took a look at the thorns in our own flesh, handed it over to God, and said, God, you know what? You can do something great with this. What if we looked at our weaknesses, we were real with one another, and we found out that truth that all the saints have discovered throughout centuries of faith, that when we are weak, that's when we are strong. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel today. Christ's power is made perfect in weakness. God's grace is sufficient no matter what our struggles, and those thorns may just be the very windows into the love and joy we seek. May we all look for our Savior Jesus right in the middle of the mess. And to that, all God's people said, Amen. Friends, please stand and let us affirm our